Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. Hope you had a great weekend. I know Hanukkah is just around the corner for all my Jewish friends. And we got Christmas a couple weeks away. We closed the books in 2023. Welcome in 2024. Just to let you know, that week of the 24th, we're all off. The talents need some time off. Spend it with family and friends. So all archive shows that week. This is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Kip Gross. He's in Phoenix. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes goes by quick. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as we lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Kip, the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And this will be two straight weeks of the smack-off, so anything that's on your mind, you can definitely bring it to the table, my brother.
Well, Mark, I'm doing fantastic today, doing a little housework outside, inside, and getting some things done, a little painting here and there. Yeah, I'm in Phoenix. The weather couldn't be any better than it is today. It's absolutely awesome. Not a cloud in the sky. Sun's shining out. I think it's like 72 degrees. And I'm doing really good. You can get a hold of me by kipgross.com or beagamer@gmail.com. And we'll do everything we can. But let's have a great one day, Mark.
Oh, I love it, brother. I know we created the bar here. We'll continue the bar. And you know, you stand here and listen to some of these shows and on terrestrial radio, and you kind of scratch your head. But, man, oh, man, we are coming to just the mirrors in 2024, buddy. I can feel it, man. That's how good we bring the topics to the table. We dissect them. We tell the truth. And a Jim Leland quote, and you might have heard a lot of quotes, I'm sure, in your 12-year baseball career. You know, if you mislead a player, you lose them for life. You tell them the truth, you lose them for 24 hours. And that's a great quote by Jimmy Leland, and I'm sure as a manager he goes into the Hall of Fame, and we're just so blessed. And with this smack-off, there's just so much to talk about, my friend. We could start with Jimmy Leland. We could talk about the relic, the white elephant they call the NCAA. Their responsibilities have now been taken away, so they're only going to be handling probably who comes in between the 12th and the 13th team because they couldn't seem to handle the top four teams. We can also talk about Shohei Ohtani and the sweepstakes, where he's going. Hey, you know I've always been for the players. I'm just not going to give this guy $550 million and handcuff my whole team because this guy can't pitch next year. And we can talk about the in-season tournaments in the NBA. We can talk about the debacle in Pittsburgh. Is it time for Mike Tomlin to go? And we can also talk about believing you're good and knowing you're good. So anywhere you want to go, and you can add some to the thing. And I know Lance is coming in here from Pensacola, Florida. Let me just get him out of the way. He said, Mark and Kip, your show is good, but your teams suck. Cowboys are going to steamroll the Eagles in Texas. We'll still see you in Vegas, maybe outside the tailgate party. Some of these Cowboys fans are feeling their oats, man.
Yeah, they are. You know what? I actually saw Aaron Rodgers had a quote about Dak Prescott this week saying, you know what? He really knows how to quarterback, and he knows what he's doing out there. He watches his language and what he says, you know, when he's given the plays and at the line of scrimmage. And I was actually shocked that Aaron Rodgers said what he said about him, saying how good he really is at a quarterback. But you know what? You know, all you Cowboy fans, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's all we really can do because they're the Dodgers of the NFL. You know, they do all the great things during the season. They get in the playoffs, and whoops, what happened? Oh, it's gone. Let's go golf for another time. Jim Leland, great topic. You know what? I'll never forget, and there's a video out there. You can probably Google it. Jim Leland in spring training with Barry Bonds.
It was absolutely epic.
He took Barry Bonds. I think they're at the batting cages in spring training.
Yep.
And Barry wasn't on time or didn't do something he was supposed to do. And Leland laid into him like nobody's business in front of everybody. He didn't have a problem doing it because he's a manager and that's what he's supposed to do. And just like you said, it probably lasted 24 hours and it was over with because he let him know right from the beginning here's what you have to do. I'm going to tell you in front of all the players here, your teammates, because they're going to hear it, and then now they're going to know that I'm a serious manager, and what I do is what I do for the team and not just for you, Barry. And so I respect him so much, and it's kind of funny that Lou Piniella was the same one on the ballot going in with him, or not going in now, but it's kind of because they're two of the same. Those two guys, when I had Lou Piniella, he was the same way. If you did something wrong or right, he'd slap you on the ass if it was good and say, good job, kid. But if it was wrong, he'd sit there right in front of everybody and he'd tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'll never forget one time I pitched against the Giants at home, and the Giants were on like a 10-game winning streak or something, 10 or 11-game winning streak, and I'm pitching against them. And went to the pregame scouting report, and all the scouting report kept saying, you know, throw this guy away, throw this guy away, throw this guy away. Well, in that game, I think I gave up 11 hits in 5 innings, probably 4 runs, something like that. Lou takes me out of the game, and I was in the dugout with him. He says, Kip, he goes, why are you pitching all these guys away? I said, well, that's what the scouting report said. The advanced scouting report said to do that. He says, Bull, no, you got to pitch these guys in, more in. I'm just going by the report. He says, well, I'm telling you how to do it. 5 days later, I faced San Francisco in the Giants in San Francisco, went 8 2/3 innings shutout baseball. And all I did was I pounded them in just like Lou said to do. So you know what? You're right about the 24-hour thing. If they get on your ass a little bit, deal with it for 24 hours. You're a teammate again. He's your manager, and get over it. But if you lie to the guy and deceive the guys, you're going to lose him forever. And that's what a lot of these managers do these days. So, let's keep on these topics.
You bring up a great point, and I believe it was a spring training in Bradenton, Florida, if I'm not mistaken. He was late for a team picture, or he didn't want to take the team picture, and that's where Leland ripped into him. I remember it. And I remember the first time I interviewed Jimmy Leland when the Pirates came into San Diego Qualcomm, and just a great guy, and man, oh, man, with a cigarette in hand and everything. He's just a great guy, and I've always liked Leland. You know, he's just a straight shooter, and you got to like those guys. You know, that brings up an interesting thing. When the manager comes, and for the average people that can't really see this, they can see the pitching coach, they see the manager come and go get you, first baseman, second baseman, everybody comes over to the pitching mound. What is that conversation like to share with the listeners? Because is it basically, hey, bust them inside, bust them out, you don't have it today, I got to take you out? What is that kind of conversation like? Because it's always, you know, I've always been intrigued by it because you go out there and, you know, you see everybody congregate and maybe buy some time for the bullpen. Would that be the case as well?
Well, Mark, there's all kinds of different reasonings why they come out. You know, a lot of the time you just might need a break, might need a little rest or a little step off the mound and take about a minute or 30 seconds or more, or whatever, just to rest and clear your head a little bit and get back after it, because sometimes you get worn out there. And when the legs start going, everything else starts going. So when a pitching coach or manager can see that in you and he just says, hold on, I'm going to go out and take a little break, he'll walk out there really slow. He'll sit there and talk to you for a minute. Might not even be about baseball. Might be about, hey, we're all going out to Joe's Crab Shack tonight. You want to go with us? You can, no big deal. And that happens. It absolutely does happen.
Yeah.
You know, right from the beginning, hey, he's just giving me a break out here. He knows I need a little breather. And so he comes out until that umpire, and then he's going to wait for that umpire, the home plate umpire, to come out all the way. And then he's going to turn around and say, hey, we just had to give him a breather. He's going to walk off that mound really slow. He's going to do the same thing going back in the dugout. So it's a game within a game. Other times they're going to come out and say, hey, right now you got a right-hander up. You got a base open over here. It's a big part of this game. You know, you don't have to give him anything good to hit. If you get ahead of him, okay, we can maybe go after him. But if you don't get ahead of him, just keep throwing him on the outside over there, and we'll do an intentional, non-intentional walk. And then you got the right-hander coming up who hasn't been swinging the bat very good, and he can't see the slider anymore. So there's just different conversations like that. And there's other times the guy's going to come out, and you're going to say, hey, what are you doing out here?
Right.
You know,
it's just
how it goes.
Yeah. And not only that, the umpire, I got to know Ed Montague real well through a friend.
Mm-hmm.
When they come out there and kind of clear the deck there, it's kind of like, oh, hey, we're going to Joe's Crab Shack today. Ed, are you going to order with us too? And You know, what I learned, and I know this, you know, maybe it doesn't happen in baseball, but playing hockey, I remember before a big game or something, I got to know the referees and stuff, you know, the linesmen and stuff, and, you know, that way then if you whack somebody in the crease playing goalie, you know, it would kind of give you a break here and there, unless it was really to the point where, you know, when now getting to know some of these umpires to a certain extent, that must help too, because, you know, they're straightforward shooters as well, I would imagine.
Oh, it is, Mark. You're onto something really well, really good here, because you know, The better you know an umpire. Don't get me wrong; they're not going to give you calls just because of who you are being their friend, but they're going to be a lot more friendly to you during the game, and there might be a couple extra over here that he gave you where normally somebody that's been busting your ball the whole time doesn't quite give it to you. And so you might start seeing that strike zone open up just a tad for yourself because you do know him. Just a quick little story. You know, when you play professional baseball, by the way, guys, you know all the umpires. You know them. You call them by their first name. You don't call them Blue. You don't call them Mr. Umpire. You call them by Ed. Yeah. You call them by Joe West, whatever. You call them whatever their name is.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Just like in baseball, you don't call the coach a coach. You call him by his first name. You call the manager Skip, or you call him by the first name. That's what you do. But what I was going to tell you was I coached after I got done playing. I coached for a lot of years. And one thing I always told my players was, when I go up to that plate, I'm going to get all these umpires' names for you, and I'm going to write them down on the scorecard here for you. When I come back here, I'm going to write it up on the lineup over here so you know who's on the bases and you know who's behind the plate. And when you go up there, you call that umpire by his name. It's not Mr. Blue. It's not Blue. It's not Mr. Umpire. It's Jim, John, Joe, whatever his name is, and you go by that. And I'll tell you what, Mark, over all those years, I had so many umpires come up to me after a game and say, "Kip," he goes, "you got one of the nicest teams I've ever umpired." I said, "Why do you say that, John?" And he'll say, "You know what? They're all so cordial. They come out to the plate to hit every time, and they'd say, how you doing, Joe? How you doing today? Everything good?" And it just makes your day to have a player say that to you and know you by your name. So, umpires go the same way as managers.
You know what? That brings up an interesting thing that I was just thinking. Who would win a steel cage match between Joe West and Eric Gregg?
Well, I can tell you now because Eric Gregg is no longer living, so I'm taking
care of that. Yeah. But in the heyday.
But you know what? You know what? I'm really happy about what MLB did, Major League Baseball did with umpires, because when I was playing, there was a lot of large umpires out there. You know, the one guy died right at home plate in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So hot that day. And, you know, Eric Gregg, another one. But nowadays, all your umpires, for the most part, are in shape. They're all pretty much in shape. So I think Major League Baseball did something with that because it was kind of getting out of hand a little bit. And a couple years back, Joe West, a friend of mine, by the way, and a couple years back, Joe, I don't know if people remember this, but it was probably 3 or 4 years ago, he lost like 75 pounds during the season. I mean, he gained a lot of it back, but you got to respect guys that are out there trying to do things for their health and for the game and to better the game. So good for Joe West. And one of these days we're going to have
Not only that, Kip, and boy, I'll tell you, like I said, the smack off is going to need 2 weeks. There's just so many topics. But when you look at Major League Baseball with the umpires, I just think that is the bar. And what I saw this weekend in football, that was just, I said to myself, these guys must have to go back and the Kansas City Green Bay game, the defensive pass interference that wasn't called in that game late and stuff is just mind-boggling to maybe, you know, bring Green Bay into the playoff hunt here. But I couldn't figure it out. There's just so many blown calls in football. They need these. I think these NFL referees need to take, a class that the Major League Baseball umpires have taken and understand the game or understand the sport, because you don't see this many blown calls in baseball like there is in football.
Now, you know what, Mark? I'm going to say it again. I've been saying this for quite a few years, and I truly, truly believe it would work. Just like I always said, instant replay in baseball would work reasons if we did some things in different ways, and in the NFL they went and end up doing the things that I asked early on. But the one thing that they should do in the NFL, and I really believe this, is they need to have a referee up in the booth on TV watching the game also. And he can throw a flag from up there. Why can't he throw a flag? Or he sees a quick little something that they just called, and he's going to call down and says, no, pick that flag up. That wasn't pass interference. Or hold on, you missed that pass interference. I'm throwing a flag up here and call it. But I will tell you this about that pass interference call. Just seconds before that, they called the roughing the passer or unnecessary roughness on Patrick Mahomes got kicked or hit out of bounds right there. And that wasn't a penalty. So, you know, I think these guys sometimes they just make up calls and okay, let's let the other one go because he just got that called on him and they figured out it wasn't that. You know, and that's what I'm saying. If they just got it right, I've been saying this for years, NFL is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and they just can't seem to get it right. Every week there's controversy somewhere. And I think if they had an eye in the sky, it would all work that way.
Yep, kind of like in college football they do that. And talking about college football, to me, the NCAA has a black eye. They're a relic. It's a white elephant. They need to go. I remember Jerry Tarkanian, God rest his soul, battled them. Ed O'Bannon battled them. Now it's like a job. You give the guy responsibilities, you give him more money. Well, now the NCAA has gotten some responsibilities taken away and probably lowered their paycheck a little because now we don't have to worry about them deciding who's going to get into this thing because top 10 teams deserve it anyhow. They can just vote on who's going to get in between the 13th and 12th team with 6 losses. How do you keep Georgia out? 29 straight games they won. They lose to Alabama in a bowl game there to determine the championship of the SEC. But that shouldn't dictate it. We saw USC get beat last year by it. You know, I refuse to play it or whatever because it shouldn't dictate your standings in the thing. They go by the wayside, and it could have been good three-time champion we would have saw with Georgia. Florida State undefeated. Undefeated. They didn't even want them in it because they didn't want another one of those Georgia TCU games. Alabama, I thought, deserved it, but then, you know, Texas said, well, wait a minute, we deserve it too. We beat Alabama. Here comes Washington, and now we've got Michigan. I'm telling you right now, Kip, I'm putting my money. Whoever wins the Michigan-Alabama is going to win the whole thing, as much as I like. But Oregon out of it, Florida State out of it, there's you know, Georgia's out of it. I mean, there's deserving teams that are sitting on the sidelines here. And the NCAA is basically saying, well, we thought maybe, you know, we didn't see the best Florida State team. They were undefeated. The first time in a Power Five is being kept out of the playoffs. This is a travesty. And these guys should, you know, turn in their resignation notices as far as I'm concerned with the NCAA. Any thought, my friend? I think I've ranted long enough.
You know what? We can sit and rant about the Florida State fiasco all day long because and all night long and tomorrow until the games are all finished because there is no way, in my opinion, Florida State should not be in the top four as an undefeated Power Five team, conference champion at that. And they can say all they want about, well, the quarterback. Well, committee, here's the thing. First of all, that quarterback wouldn't be starting in the next game because the number two quarterback – is back from concussion protocol already, so he'd be back in the game already. And if we go back a few years, guys, Alabama, I think they put their second string quarterback in the second half and won the game. There's been several of these over the years, and so it's nothing more than excuse. All these are just excuses because the NCAA is partnered up with all these different contracts with the TV and licensing. And it's all about money. It's all about money. They know 100%. If we don't get Alabama in there, we don't have an SEC team in it. And that's all there is to it. We got to get SEC team in there. And it's a joke what they just did. You're right. Whoever won the I told my kid before the game even started. I said whoever wins this game is in. There's no question about it. And they say, well, who's going to be out? I said Florida State's going to be out. And they said, why would Florida State be out? I said because all this is about money. And it's been all about money since they put these committees together. Every year you can call, you know exactly who's going to be in there. All you got to do is see who's going to create more revenue for the NCAA with the contracts with TV. And that's exactly what they did again. Georgia would have been in if they'd have won. Washington was already in. And to have Florida State not be in there, you're sending a message out to not only the players, coaches, and the fans, but you're sending out a message to all the ACC teams out there saying, hey, we're not guaranteed a spot if we go undefeated. And you're not, because they just shoved it right down your throat saying, no, we're going to take Alabama because we know they're going to draw and we know that they're going to make more money. And I think I read something about ESPN already said that because Alabama's now in it, that they're saving like $150 million because they chose Alabama over Florida State. So it's pretty simple to see, guys. Hate to see it, but that's where sports has gone now. It's all about the money.
Well, you hit it. You know, I remember in 2020, the Texas A&M Aggies, they deserved a spot over Ohio State that year, and they didn't even get it. They played six games. They went 6-0. I mean, the Buckeyes did, but Texas A&M went 8-1, and they were left out of it. And if you want to go back even further, go back to 2014 when the Baylor Bears went 11-1, and they weren't invited. They brought in Ohio State again. So, I mean, and they were the Big 12 champs. So I can't figure this out, you know. It's just a joke when they sit here. I think it's a popularity contest more than anything, Kip, to keep some of these teams out. You can even go back to UCF.
Exactly. And that's, you know, here's the other part I was trying to say earlier too, was you're not only sending a bad message to those things now, those different, like the players, the fans and the coaches and stuff, you're now sending a message to all the players and recruits saying, hey, I don't know if I can go to an ACC team anymore, because even if we have the greatest season ever, we might not go. And then you're going to have the guys that are already playing college football. They're going to look at next year's schedule and say, you know what, this isn't a very good schedule. If we go undefeated, we might not even get in the playoffs. So you're going to be sending messages to so many different people and players and organizations, and they're just going to say, man, am I going to have to transfer out of here now as a top player because we might not make it? The great thing is it's going to 12 teams next year, which pretty much they're going to get all the right teams in, up to 10, wherever, and then whoever throws in after that, who cares? But yeah, it's a joke, Mark, and it's really bad for college football, and it's a black eye to the committee and everybody who agrees with what happened. It's a big-time black eye.
Well, and Albert from Conway chimed in, and he says, I remember the 2017 Knights. They hailed themselves as the uncrowned national champions. They went 12-0, he said, and the committee ended up giving the fourth spot to Alabama that year that lost to Auburn but didn't even play in the SEC championship. It's a travesty. He says, why do they even play the games if you finish undefeated? Why are we playing games if we have no shot at the fourth spot? But like you clarified, Kip, and we've been saying it now, responsibility has been taken away from the NCAA. We don't have to worry about it because they can just sit there and figure out who's number 12 and 13, and nobody really cares about that.
Yeah, he's right. It's the thing about UCF back then, that's when Scott Frost was their head coach, and they went undefeated that year. And people don't know about that team very much, but that team ended up having seven players from that team went and played in the NFL. And the quarterback would have been playing on Sundays also had he not had that terrible, terrible leg injury he got during before the bowl game. And they ended up beating Auburn. They ended up beating Auburn in the bowl. And they had a great team, and they weren't just some team like run of the mill, you know, second conference team. They had a really good team that coach before Frost put together, and that's why they swept everybody and beat everybody really bad. So I agree with him, and there's a lot to talk about, Mark.
Well, let me get one more in here. We got 5 minutes left in the show. That's how quick it goes. Kenneth from Peoria goes, guys, don't cry over spilt milk. Georgia and Florida State can settle their differences in the bowl game. They both lost. They don't deserve it as far as they can't compete with the top four teams. I disagree with you, Kenneth. I appreciate you listening to the show, but how can you say a team that won 29 straight games lost in a meaningless game in a determined an SEC championship be left out of this thing? Why don't they have a chance to get themselves three-peated? And Florida State went undefeated. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know what you want to talk about, Kenneth in Peoria.
Yeah, Kenneth, you know, the whole thing is you have a schedule in front of you. these schedules are made up to 8 years in advance. So how do you take all that work that a Florida State University team did and just disregard it, saying, well, you didn't have a good schedule? Well, hold on. Alabama just the week before almost got beat by Auburn. It was how they end up winning that game, I'll never understand, with the defense they threw out there on the quarterback of Alabama to throw that 32-yard pass in the end zone with only one play left and didn't even rush the passer. It's a complete joke. And then they lost to Texas at home earlier in the season. You know, there's so many reasons why Alabama shouldn't be in that playoff this year, and Georgia should. Yeah, Georgia ended up getting beat by Alabama, but it was a great game. It was another great game. So, I mean, what do you do? You can't take one team out, a Florida State team out, just because you're looking for an Alabama or an SEC team to be in the playoffs. I just disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, one more if I can get it. Bill coming in from Bellingham, Washington says, haven't listened to the show. Thank you very much. But when was the last time Nebraska and Pitt in college football were relevant? Long live the Washington team that's going to win the national championship. Well, first of all, Bill, you should never drink and call this show. We appreciate you listening. But the Nebraska Cornhuskers have won 9 other national championships. I mean, what are you talking about? The Pitt Panthers, you know, have got one, but knocking Nebraska here to say Washington. I mean, come on, last time Washington was in this thing, I think Alabama beat them a few years ago to send you home. So Washington has no chance. They're not going to win this thing. They're in over their head in this Final Four. So Bill from Bellingham, Washington, with another comment, and we'll start to wrap it up. But you might have to bring the history of the 70s to this guy, Kip.
Well, the whole thing with this whole Nebraska thing going on, you know, I'm from Nebraska, season ticket holder for Nebraska. I know all about Nebraska, and I'm just going to let you all know right now that Matt Rhule is going to bring this team back to relevance very shortly. They had a bad year, but they had a great year too, if you really look at it, because first of all, Matt Rhule didn't get any of his recruits on campus this year at all, because he didn't sign until almost December of last year, and so he only got his portal players to come in, which I think there was probably 16 maybe that he brought in. And unfortunately, Jeff Sims didn't work out at quarterback. If we'd had a decent quarterback this year, that they didn't fumble and have 29 turnovers or whatever it was. I think it was 31 end-up turnovers. It would have been a completely different year. But the problem with Nebraska this year was not only the quarterback, but 8 players from the starting offensive side of the ball got hurt and were out for the season. So Rhule was forced into starting 8 freshmen and sophomore on the offensive side. And I got news for you. when you're putting a freshman and a sophomore out there against juniors and seniors that have now been in school for 6 and 7 years, pretty good chance you're not going to beat them very often. It's just how it is. So the relevance with Nebraska guys is just one of those things where it's going to come back. Last time we were relevant was a lot of years ago. It seems like 20 years ago. And but they'll be back pretty soon. So just hang in there.
Yeah, in the 70s they totally dominated. I think they won 5 national championships in the 70s. So that's definitely relevant.
The 70s, and then came back in the 90s and won a couple more back to back.
Tough team definitely put them on the map and everything. But good luck with Washington, Bill. We'll make sure you chime in when Washington goes home against Texas. Hey, as we wrap this thing up, God, I told you we're going to need 2 weeks for this. We got the next one next week where we get into Otani and everything. Gosh, it goes by so quick. Kip, give me the sure shot of the week. Give me the don't be surprised, because I got a couple of them under my belt this week.
Well, Mark, there's a lot of things going on right now in the NFL. And, you know, the whole thing I've been saying for how long now, as far as the NFL, anybody can win any week.
Yeah.
And it's just how it is. I mean, you look at the game yesterday, you had a couple injuries again that got away from people. And it's just one of those things where it's a tough one to do. But I'm going to stick right now with the Packers this week. You know, they played a great game this week. I mean, they played a really good game against the Chiefs, and they beat them. And the first times Mahomes was in Green Bay and he lost, but They're playing the Giants in New York this week.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take the upset, and I'm gonna take Green Bay over the Giants.
Well, I got the sure shot. The Steelers will kill New England on Thursday because they must have got a tongue lashing and a Jim Leland sermon in that one, because they're going to take it out, losing to the lowly Cardinals this past Sunday in a torrential rainstorm in Pittsburgh. Don't be surprised, and you might be surprised on this one. Do not be surprised if the Rams go into Baltimore and pull one on Baltimore come Sunday. The Rams sitting there 6-6. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they figure out a way to go to Baltimore. Baltimore with the week off should be interested. Kip, what a great show as always, man. It's a pleasure. 60 feet, 6 inches. Man, oh, man, Steve Carlton, Tim McCarver here. I'll catch the balls you're throwing every time. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and website and everything, my friend.
You know what? I really enjoy doing these podcasts with you,
and
they're shaping up even better and better every week. And it's fun to have these people send in the emails and texts and whatever and ask questions and give their comments. I really love that. But kipgross.com and beagamer@gmail.com is my email address. Anything and everything, guys. I really enjoy this, and I really enjoy hearing the fans come out and sending some messages to us. Good or bad, doesn't matter. Keep them coming.
Yeah, at least, you know, one guy told me one time, he said, you know what, Mark, you suck. I said, well, obviously you got your radio tuned to us. So that's the way I look at it, as far as everything keeps going. Guys, again, take note. We want to keep reiterating that because, you know, just to, so you guys are prepared for it, that week of the 24th, no shows, archive versions. We're back on next week, same time, same channel. For Kip Gross out there in Phoenix, Arizona, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same channel. Make sure you catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a good one. Kip, I love you. Safe trip back into Newport.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. We'll see you all next week, and let's have another great topic next week. I really love these.
Yeah, baby.